This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
So very pretty when we met in Ocean City, like someone oh so easy to adore. I sang this little ditty on our way through Ocean City, heading south along the Jersey Shore.
Ready, everybody?
On the way to Cape
May. There you go.
I fell in love with you.
It's great, right? It sounds good.
On the way to Cape May.
We're dancing, yeah.
I saw my dreams come true. I was taken by your
smile. I do love this song. This is a great one.
As we drifted by sea, my heart was gone. When we reached Avalon.
Ready? Here we go.
On the way to Cape May.
All right, we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. It is a beautiful, beautiful Friday of Memorial Day weekend, and we're so happy you're joining us today. The bar is open, and it's great to be with you on a busy, busy Friday as we head into the official start of summer. How excited are we for summer, huh? Right? The best. It is the best, and there's no place better to enjoy it than the Jersey Shore. No place better than the Jersey Shore than Cape May. So thank you for joining us today. Tucker Carlson was fired. You might have heard that. Now, I know a lot of people have stopped watching Fox News since Tucker was fired. I see a lot of people shaking their heads, yeah. There's a story about Tucker Carlson that not a lot of people know, except for my guest, because he had unprecedented access to Tucker Carlson, and he's going to join me in just a moment. But one thing to keep in mind about everything that we talk about on the show, when we have these live events, it stays just in this room, okay? Very good. All right. It's great to be with you today. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, and of course, 855-839-1210. Chadwick Moore joins me now. He was a frequent guest on Tucker Carlson Tonight. I had the pleasure of meeting him when I was a guest on Kennedy, and we were on the panel together. He is also an author, a journalist, and contributing editor at The Spectator, and his new book is coming out very soon. It's called Tucker. Chadwick Moore, how are you, my friend?
Hey, it's great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Congratulations on the book. And it's coming out July 18th, 2023. It's amazing how much access you had to Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, you know, I'm an independent biographer, so I had total editorial independence on this book. Tucker hasn't seen a word, hasn't asked to. But, you know, he was an open book to me. He just said, you know, when we approached him with the project, he's like, at first he said, oh, I hate reading things about myself. I don't like, you know, any of that stuff. But then he kind of said, you know, you're a good writer. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. I like your stuff. And he just, you know, whenever I need anything from him, whenever I wanted to hang out, he was totally open. Yeah, come on down. Come spend a week. So it was a really, really wonderful experience working on this book.
You broke some news recently that you said the reason why he was fired had a lot to do with what happened with the Dominion lawsuit, right?
So that story had been out, and that there was an agreement between Fox News and Dominion that they would pull him off the air as a condition of the settlement. that news was reported, I had heard that from my sources before it was reported. And my sources were, you know, very reliable. They assured me this was the case. I have no reason to think that they wouldn't know what was going on. Now, Fox News and Dominion have both denied this, but it does seem clear that his being pulled off the air was a result of this, whether it was a part of the agreement or whether it was Fox News basically trying to put down the hammer and saying who's boss and trying to teach everyone a lesson and, you know, letting them know who's in charge. We don't know. But my sources with assurance told me that. Once again, Dominion has denied it, and that's what we know right now.
What do you think? I mean, you know, as a guy who is writing the book and wrote the book, Tucker, which comes out in July, he was the number one highest rated show in cable news history. What do you think about Tucker in terms of what made him so successful?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think a lot of it is, number one, his personality. You know, he really connects with people through the television and in real life, honestly. And I think he also, you know, his politics, which haven't really changed that much over the years. I kind of write about a couple pivotal moments where he really did change his thinking. But, you know, they really converged with the current moment, I believe, which is that the paradigm of left and right, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative is completely up in the air. It's really hard to define those terms anymore. And he really grasps onto that. He speaks, I think, the truth. He speaks a message a lot of people want to hear. And it's something that you don't hear in mainstream politics. You know, he's anti-war. He's anti-corporatist. He's pro-free speech. He is, you know, he's a civil libertarian at heart. And a very much a live and let live guy who fundamentally, more than anything, hates hypocrisy, like the tagline of his show, the sworn enemy of lying, hypocrisy, smugness, and groupthink. I think that message not only really sums up who he is and what his show was, but where millions of Americans are right now, that they're so fed up with the same old crap. And he spoke to those people. And it's very telling that a huge part of his audience were self-identified Democrats. A huge part of his audience were also disaffected Democrats, and many of his guests were people who had left the left and been disaffected for those reasons. So I think there's a lot of things coming together, and of course his personality is undeniably magnetic and entertaining.
Yeah, because a lot of what he said was not the traditional conservative. You know, I think Sean Hannity at 9 o'clock says the predictable conservative line, and I mean, I'm not trying to make it a put down, but it's just that you expect the things that Sean Hannity says for Sean Hannity to say those things, and there's a reason why Hannity's been on Fox News forever and he's been in talk radio forever. But Tucker says a lot of things that kind of challenge the conservative orthodoxy and Republican orthodoxy too. I mean, just for example, being anti-war. You know, there was a time when a lot of the people in the Republican Party would have been all in on Ukraine. You know, let's go defeat Russia and let's go all in on Ukraine. He challenges that. It helps him with his ratings, but of course they call him a Russian stooge and a Putin puppet and a propagandist. But that also helps him in that sense, because he brings on other voices who also agree with him, and they're called the same things, you know, Tulsi Gabbard and others. I mean, it's a great example. Tulsi Gabbard, who does not really fit a mold and was a frequent guest on his show. I mean, you, Chadwick Moore, don't fit a traditional mold, and you were a frequent guest on his show. So is it the authenticity more than just the predictable Republican or conservative talking points that's what made it so refreshing?
I think so. And I think people know when they're being lied to, you know, people know when they're being fed a script. It's so easy to see. And people know when they're being told the truth, and they know when someone believes something. You know, Tucker would always, his producer would say to me, we don't put anything on the show if Tucker doesn't really believe in it. And it's also the reason why he could talk about things on air that no other cable news host could. You know, think about something like if you want to talk about architecture or beauty. You know, Sean Hannity can't talk about architecture because Sean Hannity doesn't care about architecture. He doesn't care about beauty. But Tucker could, because he really believed in it. And that, you know, you could tell that he meant it, and that would get you engaged and get you interested. So, you know, everything in his show was, he had complete editorial control. I know that a lot of people, you know, wonder if executives were kind of looking over his shoulder and telling him what he can and can't do. That was never the case on his show. And, you know, he wrote all of his monologues himself. That was a big creative outlet for him. He comes from writing, from journalism, from literature. And you know, as a writer myself, and anyone who is a writer can really see that in his monologues, that there's a lot of work put into that. They're very clever. They're very literary. So I think people know that you know, he means these things. He wasn't talking about something if he didn't care about it. And you can't fake that.
No, I agree. You can't fake it. That's the thing. The authenticity has to be there. Otherwise, people see right through it. And Chadwick Moore, you know, as you think about Tucker and the legacy that he left behind in Fox News, it's not like it's over. It's just going to go with him to a new platform. That's the thing about it that I think people don't realize, is that we've come to a time in media now where if somebody really feels passionately about a host, whether that host is on television or radio, and the corporation fires that person, the audience is going to find them. I mean, they're not going to stop listening to them. They're going to find them where they are. They're going to go where they are. The loyalty is not to the brand of Fox News. The loyalty is to the host. The Fox News is the delivery vehicle where that host, gets the message across. But that loyalty to that brand will go away in a heartbeat if they feel as if that brand betrayed someone that they care deeply about with Tucker Carlson. I mean, I think we see that, right? We see that with people who are saying, I'm done with Fox News. It's a visceral rejection of Fox because they felt so strongly for Tucker. They felt that connection with him. And since that was broken, they don't want to give Fox their attention anymore.
Right. And that was the fatal mistake of pulling his show off the air. And something that one of my sources said, because I said, if this Dominion thing is true, you know, why would they sacrifice this powerhouse of ratings? And this person who knows these executives said to me, well, with great assurance, he said, they literally have no idea who their audience is. They think they're the Fox News from 20 years ago and that they can do anything, that they're unstoppable. And most importantly, they didn't realize that his brand, Tucker's brand, was bigger or as big as their own. And they sort of thought to themselves, well, we got rid of Bill O'Reilly and we were fine, or Megyn Kelly, or we were fine. This will be no different. They didn't understand that Tucker Carlson was a movement more than he was just a talk show host. And, you know, when his show was pulled off the air, you're absolutely right. People are going to follow him wherever he goes. But I think one of the reasons why it felt like a death, and I think people are still kind of mourning, is because our leaders, you know, if he goes to the internet, if he goes to Twitter, people will follow him there. But our leaders don't care what happens on the internet. Our leaders care what happens on cable news, and they care what happens in the pages of the New York Times and the Washington Post. So I think for a lot of people, it felt so sad because that voice no longer had the ear of our leaders, because they do care what people are saying on cable. But we'll have to see how that turns out. But you're right. I mean, he's going to be fine, and everyone thinks that as well. They know that they're going to follow him wherever he ends up.
Chadwick Moore joins me. He's the author of Tucker. It comes out July 18th, 2023. And Chadwick Moore is the author, and it's great to have him on the show today. So what's he like in real life? What's he like when you spend... I mean, you had unprecedented access to him, his family, his colleagues, acquaintances, and even his enemies. I mean, you interviewed all the whole gamut of people, hundreds of hours of interviews, and you spent a lot of time with him personally. So what's he like?
Oh, he's hilarious, number one, as everyone knew. He's one of the few people I think is actually a little toned down on television. Usually it's the opposite. People are more amped up when the camera rolls. He has so much energy. He's so funny and so engaging. And he loves, I mean, he's full of life. He's really, really full of life. And his wife, Susie, they have one of the most wonderful, loving relationships I've ever seen. And they've been together since they were 15 years old, which is amazing. She's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And, you know, he just wants to – I had the best time sitting around his kitchen just talking about, you know, anything, trees. He talked to me for an hour about trees once, and it was one of the greatest conversations I ever had, what the best trees are, what the stupidest trees are, you know. He can talk about anything. So he's wildly entertaining. He's also very – you know, he's very spiritual, and he loves nature. He feels very connected to nature and the world. He feels very passionately about those things. And he, you know, really protects, he and his family, they protect themselves from the both the negative press and also, you know, from getting too big of a head. He's always, and this comes from his father, who's also a journalist, and also some of his mentors along the way, really instilled in him, don't think you're God. You know, when you start to get big, don't think that you're God, because you're keeping humble. And he really lives that. And he has, like, rituals to remind himself that how of his own insignificance, as all of our insignificance on this planet. And, you know, I think that makes him stand out. I think that's why everyone who's ever worked for him or with him adores him. And, you know, if you've been around television enough, you know, a lot of those people are jerks. And no one's ever said that about Tucker Carlson.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, I can't wait to read the book. Congratulations on writing it. I think it's going to be huge. And you're a great guy, so you deserve the success as well. But I think that the timing of this could not be better. It's almost like you fired him.
I still feel it was always going to come out in May. In fact, I finished writing it and submitted my manuscript on March 31st. And then we updated, of course. I've interviewed him twice since the show was taken off the air. But, I still feel that hole in my day at 8 p.m. I think it was a lot of people schedule their evenings around that show. So, I'm not exactly like jumping up for joy.
Well, I know, but he's going to do just fine wherever he goes. And we're excited to see where he goes. I guess, is it Twitter? Is that official that he's going to bring his platform to Twitter?
So that's what they've announced. Twitter's launching a new video service that they hope to compete with YouTube. And they are going to try that out. And if they don't like it, they'll go somewhere else. But they're going to test the product. I believe what I understand is the reason why Twitter is so attractive is it's not in Fox forgot to include it in his non-compete. So because he's still an employee of Fox News, he's still getting paid. And also it's attractive because Elon Musk has, you know, taken over and made it more friendly to people who aren't woke, crazy people. So that is the last I heard that's going ahead. And they're going to see if they like it there. And if not, they might move on to somewhere else.
Pre-order the book today at Amazon.com. Tucker, it comes out July 18th. Chadwick Moore, thanks, my friend. And congratulations on writing it.
Hey, thank you so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we are live in Cape May, New Jersey at the Grand Hotel, I sent my friend Judith Krupnik a picture of Patrick Clare and Reagan in our XC90, because we got the third row, which is great, and the car is big and fast and spacious and super safe, which is very, very important to me. As we travel the Jersey Shore this summer and all of our trips that we make, it's important to have a car that you can depend on, and that is what the Volvo XC90 is all about for the family car. We're leasing it. I'm leasing the S60, and I love that car, and it's made right here in the United States of America in South Carolina, which is very important to me as well. Either way, you're going to get a great experience with my friends at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. It's where relationships matter, and right now, they are offering $2,500 off the XC40, which is a fantastic SUV, super spacious, loaded with technology as well, incredibly safe. $2,500 off if you are a Costco member, and $1,000 off every other model at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. And yes, normally we would be broadcasting live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios. Of course, today we're on the road in Cape May, but Judith has stepped up in this age of cancel culture. She doubled down and said, I want the studio naming rights. So please pay them a visit in Cherry Hill. I love the car. I love driving it. Bridget loves the XC90. She is absolutely in love with this car. And it's way, way better than a minivan. I'm telling you right now, way better. So go see them today. My great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Cioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, we're saying hi to the chef of the Grand Hotel of Cape May. I just met him, Chef Mills. Thanks, Chef. We love the food here. It's great. Great to meet you. We are live in Cape May at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, everybody. Yes. You having a good time? Wonderful. It's so great to be with you this afternoon. And we got more friends coming by, so come on by. The bar's open. Hello, John. Good to see you. And it's always fun. We get to do these live broadcasts together. Is anybody hungry?
Yes.
Yes. Would anybody like a Taylor ham, egg and cheese sandwich? No, because we're in South Jersey. We call it a pork roll, egg and cheese, right? Unless you're a jackass like Phil Murphy, you call it a Taylor ham, egg and cheese in honor of Taylor Swift. This clown with the bad rug on his head continues to just embarrass himself. So there's a time when the king becomes the court jester, and that's exactly where we are right now. King Philip the Unaccountable is now officially the court jester. So first of all, let me play for you the clip of Phil Murphy today on his Twitter page, which is at King Philip the Unaccountable, I believe is his Twitter handle.
I don't think that's accurate.
That may not be true?
No.
He came out today and he said this because Taylor Swift is playing a big concert in New Jersey. I don't know if you know that or not. She's playing up in the Meadowlands in North Jersey. So King Phil came out and said this today. Let's take a listen.
In New Jersey, we have a reputation for a great war between Taylor Ham and Pork Roll. Usually, we let you call it what you want, but since we have a superstar coming to town, we know all too well that we should commemorate the occasion. So today, we are declaring the official state sandwich of New Jersey a Taylor Swift ham, egg, and cheese. Welcome to New Jersey, Taylor. We've been waiting for you, and it would have been a cruel summer without you.
What a jerk, right? Am I right? I mean, what a jerk. What a pandering fool he is. I'm embarrassed for New Jersey. I really am. I don't think I could ever eat a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese sandwich ever again. Do we have my trumpets, Henry? Ahem! Ahem! Peasants! Gather around! His Royal Highness King Philip the Unaccountable will no longer let you call it pork roll. It doesn't matter, he hates South Jersey, which is why he's killing all the whales and dolphins. I mean, he literally said you're not allowed to call it pork roll anymore. Did you hear that? All right, one more time with the trumpets. Here we go.
Go, you know the...
No, thing. not that. The trumpet. Peasants, gather around! His Royal Highness King Philip the Unaccountable will now call it a dead whale egg and cheese. We have to do something with their dead carcasses he doesn't care about, nor does he care about you, you filthy heathens. I think Taylor Swift should cancel the concert after that. I really do. I mean, I'd be embarrassed. You know, too, it's like one of those things where you know that that creep was hoping to get a response from her. And all day he's running around the state house going, did she respond? Did she like it? Huh? New Jersey, did she like it?
You know what? You're 100% correct because I just pulled up the tweet and he has her tagged in it.
Yeah. I mean, I tagged her. Think she likes it? Does she like me? Did she say anything? Huh? Did she say anything about my hair? Did she say anything about my rug?
Then he tweeted about it a second time and she still hasn't responded.
Pathetic. It's like the guy that can't take a hint and he keeps coming. You know, you give those celebrity shout outs and they want nothing to do with you. But you know who pays for that, right? You do. When the king is not happy, the peasants pay. So let's all hope Taylor likes his stupid tweet just so that he doesn't bring his wrath on us anymore. We don't need any more of that. One more time with the trumpets, Henry, if I could. Clear my throat here. And the crier. Peasants, gather around! His Royal Highness King Philip the Unaccountable is in a very dour mood. Since Taylor Swift did not respond to him, he has beheaded her and ordered 25,000 new windmills to be built off your ugly coastline. He is, after all, a masshole. Oh, he's from Massachusetts, so... Anyway, that's the latest from His Royal Highness. It's just amazing to me. Well, speaking of windmills, we're going to talk a little bit about energy and international issues with Dr. Victoria Coates in just a few moments. I didn't have to ask you to clap for anything today, but I'm actually good at this. You know, I don't normally ever like to, you know, the people that work on this show, like Matt DeSantis, the executive producer, is here to my left. And I never, ever like to ever yell when they do something wrong. But I do have to really scold him right now in front of all of you. And I need to teach him a lesson. That this better never happen again. Cut number two. What does it say?
Jill Biden's Jeb Bush moment.
It's Dr. Jill Biden,
oh,
you
sorry.
Bastard!
I apologize. I'm in the wrong.
How dare you, sir?
I forgot about the education doctorate.
You must always call her Dr. Jill Biden. We have to shut down the entire show now.
I am embarrassed. I am so sorry.
Never let it happen again.
Yes, sir.
Well, here is Dr. Jill Biden's moment here, her Jeb Bush moment. Cut number two.
I've visited red states and blue states, and I found that the common values that unite us are deeper than our divisions.
Oh.
And I thought you might clap for that.
That's awkward, is it not? Thought you might clap for that? Maybe get him drunk first, Jill, next time. Just throwing it out there. That was awkward, definitely awkward. All right, well, then let's see. We have this now. We have a lot of good audio today. Of course, I have to put my glasses on that. But we also have, let me just out of curiosity, is it everyone okay if I have my first drink at 5 o'clock sharp? Because I need to have a couple in me before I play the Hillary Clinton audio we have on the cut sheet.
These are great Hillary Clinton cuts.
I think we all need to be at the bar for a couple hours before we play Eddie Hillary Clinton.
I've been waiting for this.
All right, we'll do a little bit of that. And if you're also wondering right now where things are going in this country with regard to the debt ceiling, I don't believe they've solved it yet. But it is Friday afternoon, and Joe Biden has about 28 minutes left till he goes to sleep for the weekend. So there's still time. Well, you have to remember something. He doesn't stay in Washington. He goes to Delaware, where he can have classified documents there. And all the visitors and all the guests and all the Hunter Biden buddies come by because there's no visitor logs. But that's a long trip for someone like him to go from Washington, D.C. to Wilmington, Delaware on a plane. Takes about 12 minutes. So, you know, there's no way he can stay awake for that after having such a long day of doing absolutely nothing. So don't begrudge the president his nap time, all right? The pudding that they serve him on Air Force One, too, is the finest pudding. It's very special. Made in China, of course, with a Ukrainian topping on it. That corruption crunch, as they call it. I think Ben and Jerry's made a flavor for him. Corruption crunch. Chinese ice cream with a Ukrainian chocolate topping. I think it's good. A crunchy chocolate. I think it's a good flavor. And there's no one better than Ben and Jerry's to make it. Just a couple of hardworking hippies in Vermont scooping ice cream out of their scoop shop. Am I right? Not a couple of hypocrites who sold out to global conglomerate Unilever for $380 million while they lecture all of us about paying more taxes. Am I right? And advocate for Mumia to come out of prison. Their ice cream is disgusting, too. Have you ever had it? That's gross. Don't eat it. Unless you know, they're sponsoring the show, of course. No, I'm kidding. I would never let them sponsor. Never. There's great ice cream shops in Cape May that are actual, like, mom-and-pop ice cream shops. But I'm not a fan of theirs. They were Bud Light before Bud Light became Bud Light. You know, that's the truth. All right, so coming up, what is the impact of China blowing up a U.S. Navy warship on a simulation? We'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about that. And we'll also try to understand a little bit more about Biden's war on energy and what it's costing all of us. These wind turbines that we're talking about, well, guess what? There is a cost to each and every one of us in this room, and we're going to chat with her about that. But before I do, live from the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, let me just tell you, the show is going to continue throughout the afternoon. The bar is open. Great friends are stopping by, and it is so great to see you. Come on by if you're on your way to Cape May. We'd love to see you here, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. We are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Everybody having a good time? All right. Bar's open. The weather is beautiful, and I know people are on their way to come by and see us. hopefully traffic's not too bad, but definitely make it a point to come by and say hello today. We're having a great time together as we kick off summer and, of course, kick off Memorial Day weekend. It's a lot of fun. And I'm very happy to welcome back to the show Dr. Victoria Coates. She is, of course, a Philly native, a Philly original, and an expert when it comes to foreign matters and also energy matters as well. Dr. Coates, thanks for joining me.
Rich, it's good to be with you. Wish I was in beautiful Cape May.
We'd love to have you here. I mean, we are looking outside what is soon going to be a view that will be eclipsed by horrifically ugly wind turbines. And since you worked in the Trump administration and you are an expert in energy matters, it's amazing that they want to do this. These things don't provide the energy we need, and they really don't make a damn bit of difference when it comes to climate change.
No, they're actually counterproductive for the climate, because you've got to make these giant wind turbines. They're mostly made in China, and so you're benefiting the communist Chinese, and it is ultimately an unreliable energy source. The real problem with solar, wind, and hydro is essentially these are technologies that are 100 years old. They should not be powering the future. And, you know, I actually saw one of the townships in New Jersey, which I think is a very blue township, voted unanimously against this because it's going to destroy, as you said, the gorgeous view, which is basically the business of that area, is, you know, being a beautiful vacation spot. And it's not going to help our power grid in any way. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they are made in China. You're right about that. And they're hideously ugly. And you're even going to hear them when you're sitting on the beach. You're going to hear the whoosh, 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 swooshing sound. You're going to see them from miles away. And, of course, they're killing whales and dolphins. I mean, we're here in Cape May. One of the beautiful things about Cape May is you can go on whale-watching cruises. But now we're really worried about the whales because we've had now at least 14 that we know of wash up on the shores here. We don't know how many whales are dying out to sea, and they don't care, though. That's the thing. All the environmentalists have not said a word about this. They just don't give a damn. They're all in on this renewable energy thing that when you've got dead whales and you've got dead dolphins, they just completely turn a blind eye to it.
That's the most bizarre thing. You would think, as conservationists, they would want to get to the bottom of the whale problem as quickly as possible. And, you know, it certainly looks like it could be the wind turbines. Wouldn't you want to find that out before you install all these things and have a rash of dead whales washing up in New Jersey? I can't think of anything more horrific.
It's so great to have you on the show today. And I also wanted to talk to you about China, since you brought China up. There was a cyber attack that affected possibly the United States Navy on Guam, and a lot of people thought maybe this was a way of getting to Taiwan. And there's also now this story that China did a simulation and blew up a U.S. Navy warship. So what do you make of all this in terms of what do you think China's doing? I mean, you're an expert. You are the former deputy national security advisor in the Trump administration. I mean, what do you make of all this?
China is so clearly our number one threat. And when I was reading about that situation on Guam, it triggered my memory, the report earlier this year that one of the Chinese spy balloons went over Guam. And so, you know, are these things in any way connected? Were those spy balloons actually doing kind of cyber espionage as well as standard surveillance? And to have the president then come out at the G7 in Japan last week and call it the silly balloon, as if the one that went over the United States, as if it was some kind of child's toy. And then we have these reports of their malfeasant behavior, and the administration's just not taking it seriously.
I think that, look, nobody wants World War III, and we've talked about this a million times. And obviously, I mean, your former boss, Donald Trump, was one of the reasons I think a lot of people supported him was the fact that, come on in, ladies, join us. Come on in. It's okay. We're all friends here. One of the reasons why I think so many people supported him was that he did not want World War III. But this administration has done something so stupid. They showed America on the world stage. They showed the world that America is not capable of keeping its word. I mean, the disastrous withdrawal of Afghanistan, the way it looks like right now, we are just completely rudderless when it comes to Ukraine. And I know that China takes advantage of that. I also know that China looks at the fact that we have not held them accountable in any way, shape, or form for COVID-19, which we know came from a Chinese bio lab. And to that point, I should ask you this question as well. Senator Marco Rubio's committee came out with their final assessment of the origins of COVID-19. And, of course, the great preponderance of the evidence is that it came from a lab in Wuhan. But he did really make the point that the Chinese military was involved in its creation, because the Chinese military was all about doing gain-of-function research and was really pressuring these laboratories over there in China. It's about progress. It's about results. It's not about safety, which is one of the reasons why the virus may have leaked. But in my mind, Dr. Coates, I think about the idea of China with bioweapons, and I get a little nervous about that fact. Call me crazy.
No, I think we all should be nervous after the last 3 years. We know now absolutely what they're capable of, and we can all remember back to 2020 when then-candidate Biden accused my former boss, President Trump, of being racist and bigoted for shutting down flights to China when he did, and for suggesting that the origin of the virus might have been, you know, man-made in China. And so now, thanks to Senator Rubio, others, Senator Cotton, Senator Paul, Senator Cruz, all of whom have been extremely strong on this issue, you know, we've had to look to Congress to start to get some answers on this thing, because the administration clearly doesn't want to do anything, you know, that's hard on the PRC. They're trying to have a reset. And we can all remember, well, maybe those of us who are old enough can remember back to Secretary Clinton and the attempted reset with Putin's Russia, which didn't turn out very well. So 100% agree that we don't want World War III, but in a kind of a perverse way, the weakness of this administration makes war more likely, because it provokes aggression from those who perceive the weakness, like China.
And obviously, as we're sitting here right now, we have no money. The country's about to go broke. We're about to hit the fiscal cliff, and it's going to be the end of mankind as we know it. Humankind, excuse me. I don't want to offend anybody. Humankind. I don't need Justin Trudeau yelling at me. But at the same time, we just committed more money to Ukraine. It's amazing how that works, right?
Well, we were talking last week about the fact that they found the extra $3 billion at the Pentagon miraculously to allow them to keep funding the war through September. The other thing that just broke is Janet Yellen miraculously found 4 more days in June that we're able to pay our debts. So the date isn't June 1st anymore. Now it's June 5th. And, you know, for the folks that I've talked to, you know, on this one, primarily Senator Cruz, you know, there are ways we can prioritize payments on our debt. And the president could cut out tomorrow and say, regardless of where we are in the negotiations, the United States will always pay our debts. And maybe it means a few less shrimps on treadmills or a few less wind turbines or whatever. But there's plenty of money to pay our debts if that's what the president directs the Secretary of Treasury to do. And so this notion that we're headed for a fiscal cliff if the Republican conference in the House doesn't cave to the president is just wrong. And all Americans need to be outraged about this, that they can't even get themselves back to 2022 spending levels. That was 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And somehow the idea of returning to what looks like a good deal in December of 22 is impossible and is going to ruin the country. I mean, we have to right this ship fiscally, or else we can't confront China. It is a national security issue.
You know, I found $1 billion in my room at the Grand Hotel at Cape May under the mattress.
Okay, then I'm definitely coming down.
Oh, what's that over there? $3 billion. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. You know, I mean, yeah. It's just, it falls out of your pants sometimes. You know what I mean? The pockets. It's what it is. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you was there's a lot of anger in the Senate over Afghanistan, the withdrawal of Afghanistan, this report that is supposed to be coming out at some point to really get into what happened here. And I guess there's a lot of frustration because, again, the administration's stonewalling them on what they need to understand everything around the withdrawal of Afghanistan. And I'm not surprised by that, right? I mean, I'm not surprised. This is one of the things that I think they have to be probably most embarrassed about. You would think they'd be most embarrassed about. But yet, again, it's still stonewalling.
Yeah, I mean, they keep insisting, the administration keeps insisting, that this was the best possible withdrawal. And we all saw Admiral Kirby come out to the White House podium a couple of weeks ago and say he didn't see any chaos. He didn't see a problem with the withdrawal. So they're trying to whitewash history at this point. But unfortunately, what they can't whitewash are those images that were seared into everybody's brains, you know, of the poor Afghans desperately clinging to planes and plunging to their deaths rather than be left to the Taliban, which shows you just what they did to that country. And I think a full action, after action report is necessary. And we have to learn these hard lessons, not pretend they didn't happen. So as inconvenient as it may be for the administration politically to have to man up and be true. Oh, sorry if that was gender specific.
To be truthful about that.
I'm trying to learn.
Not easy. Person up.
They have to person up and take responsibility for this, because, you know, as we're starting to drift in Ukraine, you know, now we're 15 months into a 3-day war, and there were reports this past week that the genius solution they're looking at for Ukraine is to create a new version of the Korean Peninsula, where you have, you know, a South Korea oriented toward the West and a North Korea oriented toward communist China. I mean, that's a horrible idea and will just lead us into another one of these kind of endless conflicts. And if we can't learn from Afghanistan, then we risk doing it again in Ukraine.
Well, let's hope that wiser minds will prevail, that's for sure. But again, it all comes back to the fact that, and we've talked about this before, you know, the Congress is supposed to be debating this stuff and dealing with this, and they're not. And so Joe Biden is calling all the shots here when it comes to Ukraine. Thank you, Bud. Was that a Bud Light? I'm not drinking a Bud Light. The owner of the hotel is handing me a Bud Light. I can't drink that.
Next, it's going to be a bathing suit from Target. Watch out.
Well, it better be tuck friendly. Dr. Victoria, what's that?
I said too much sharing.
Too much sharing. I know. Well, I know. You're right. That's true. But, you know, it's the start of summer. So we get 2-for-1 special. Listen, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for coming on the show. Enjoy your weekend. And we will talk to you again very soon.
Absolutely. Let's all just raise one for all the guys who didn't come home.
Well said. Well said. Thank you, my friend.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm not drinking a Bud Light. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. It's nice and cold, though, I'll tell you that. If you take the label off, can you take it? Then it's a... Well, the thing about it, if you take the label off, then the beer doesn't identify as anything at that point, right? Can you, if my Bud Light identifies as a Yingling, can I drink it? I don't even want to look at this thing. You know what? You know why Bob does this to me too? First of all, this isn't even fresh. This is 4 years old. That's number one. And you can't, right? No, really, is it selling? It's not selling, is it? No. I mean, I don't not want a Peroni, but no, I'm okay. Thank you. Oh, is that because I'm Italian? That's a very stereotypical thing to say, you know.
Hey, what are you saying?
No, we honeymooned in
LA. Listen, forget about it, all right? I don't want to drink no stinking Italian beers. No, I love Peroni. Peroni and Moretti are great beers, actually. I love that. But and you know, Bridget and I also honeymooned in Italy. So we had a great time in Italy. It was great. I'm not allowed back in the country for 20 years, but it was a great time. It was a lot of fun. So we got a half hour nonstop talk coming up. Just to share, I think you're all going to say too much information. I am going to use the restroom.
Go ahead.
Before we do that, I'll come right back. Why am I telling you all this? I don't know. I guess it's just more about the fact that it feels like we're all a family today. Isn't this nice?
Yeah.
See, if you're not here right now, you're missing out. So come, and I got a Bud Light for you. We do have some Zioli Army shirts to give out. Would everybody be okay if we give one to Sophia, who is graduating eighth grade, and she's here today. Would that be all right? And would everybody be okay if we give one to Matthew, who just graduated from, do you remember, did you get the details?
Dean's List, Kutztown.
Dean's List at Kutztown. We want to empower the youth. Is that all right? Any other young Zeoli Army members in the room? He's already got one, though, Peter. He's wearing it. He looks great in it.
That's an extra large.
Well, Peter can get anything. That's the only problem. You know what? Maybe we'll get her a shirt. Maybe we'll get your. How about we get her name, since it's a large, right? We'll send it to you. Is that all right? You can't fit into that. Or yes, you could, right? You like him longer, or do you want a small? Dad's going to steal the shirt, I think. All right. They didn't give us enough, unfortunately, but we wanted to try to figure out a way to give him out. So maybe we can figure out who is the... Well, first of all, did anybody... In all seriousness, though, any veterans in the room today? Could you stand up, please, so we can say thank you and give you a round of applause for your service to our country? So we have... How many total veterans are here? Stand up again. I'm sorry. I can't count. Can you count, Matt DeSantis?
You're the
Harvard graduate math guy. How many do we have?
Looks like four.
Four?
Five.
Five. Five. Six? Six. Six veterans. All right. Would it be okay if we give a veteran each of a Zeoli Army shirt? Would that be all right? Unless they already have one. No, I'm just kidding. You can. It's all right. she's wearing one. Where'd you serve, ma'am? Oh, wow, that's great. God bless you. That's great. And she's wearing a Zeoli Army shirt. I love it. That's great. Well, now you'll have two different colors. Look at that. What's that? You have four now. Oh, that'll be your fourth. Well, listen, if you want to take her out in the parking lot and teach her a lesson and take her Zeoli Army shirt, I understand. It's like four shirts. Wow. Well, thank you all for your service. We appreciate it. God bless. And as we go into Memorial Day weekend, and we really do think about the fact that this is about remembering, yes, those who did not come back. So no question about it. All right, we got a big half hour nonstop talk coming up. My friends at New Jersey Motorsports Park would love to see you for a great time, a thrilling adventure you will never forget with their professional go-karts that go 55 miles an hour on their professional karting tracks. So please, go see New Jersey Motorsports Park today. It's a great time out. Axe throwing, and they've got a pool there, the Finish Line Pub for great food and drinks. And yes, those go-karts are an absolute blast. There's always something fun going on at New Jersey Motorsports Park. I was there a couple weeks ago driving a Ferrari, going 140 miles an hour. It was a thrill. So check out their website at njmp.com, New Jersey Motorsports Park, njmp.com. You'll never forget how much fun you have there. Team building, corporate events, and family and friends as well. New Jersey Motorsports Park, njmp.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.